is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And we are here for the next 4 hours talking about this football weekend. An extremely, extremely disappointing Saturday in every single respect. While Sunday had a lot of interesting stuff going on. Our Miami team, Lance, is just crushing it right now. It's amazing
how good it is.
Our offense is really clicking. Yeah, our offense really clicked yesterday.
Yeah,
but our defense and special teams were able to come up. Why was the Saturday so disappointing in every single way?
Texas is back, folks.
Texas won. Texas A&M won. Rice won. Houston lost. So there was a loss, but why was everything so disappointed in every single way?
Well, I mean, it was a confusing Saturday. Texas won, but they certainly didn't deserve to win.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. They certainly. I mean, when you look at the yards, when you look at who outplayed whom, when you look at every single aspect of the game.
You know what Oklahoma State's offense is a lot of, to be honest with you? It's just throw the ball one-on-one, just throw it up in the air and hope Tylan either gets an interception or makes a catch. There's a lot of that.
I mean, he had a lot of outs.
I knew you were going to lead with this. Texas didn't deserve to win stuff.
Texas didn't deserve to win. They were not the better team.
Turnovers are part of the game. That's like saying the Rams, the Dolphins didn't deserve to win because the Rams made turnovers.
Honestly, if you watch that game and you think about Texas in the micro, it feels great to win on that Saturday. But if you're Texas, I would actually feel worse about my team than I did coming into the year, only because that formula for beating a top 10 team is like what Indiana needs to beat Penn State. You are working on the level of like a mid-tier Big Ten team.
Yeah, so you that's have what they
to,
are.
I know, but I wouldn't feel in the macro view, like the world view of my program, I wouldn't feel great because, like John said, you got out gained by 200 plus yards. You turned the ball. You created four turnovers. You returned a kick for a touchdown.
Well, wait a minute.
And it took all of that to stay in the game against Oklahoma State.
Well, Oklahoma State, and let's face it, that defense is pretty good. If it wasn't for where the offense put them, I mean, honestly, now defense doesn't win anymore, but that defense can go. It's one of the best defenses in the country. Coming in, they were the best defense in third down in the country. And they were and they had another stat that was just number of drives and score percentage on drives. They were first or second best in the country. So they can play. The defense can play. Now, you can't turn. I'm convinced that Oklahoma State is done. Spencer Sanders is not the answer. The offense was humming on all cylinders with the freshman in there, Illingworth. He's pretty damn good. He can fling it around. Spencer Sanders is a mess. He's just a mess.
He's a five-star, though.
So? I'm going to rat's ass who's a five-star. Who's
a
better
quarterback?
Who's playing better?
He's a five-star.
He's not. He's Felipe Franks is what he is.
Yes, he is. I agree.
But you're also, not, by the way, the yardage gain thing is a little bit of a – you're also – when you move the ball where you get the ball, and when you have a high turnover count the other way, you typically get it in favorable position. When you have a kick return for a touchdown, your offense doesn't hit the field. That's one of the reasons why the Dolphins' yardage count was so unbelievably low. It's not like their offense played good, but they also had four turnovers, the same thing, and they had a defensive score, so the ball goes right back to the other team. There was a lot more plays, but regardless, that was a huge win for Tom. It's a huge loss for Oklahoma State. It's a huge win for Tom Herman, because I'm telling you one thing. Tom Herman right now, he could not lose that game. He had to win that game to keep things afloat for him. And now he still has games he's going to have to get through, but whether they got outgained or whatever, they had to win that game, and they had a win that's a big win for Tom Herman, and I'm talking about just maintaining his job.
The numbers you're talking about are fine as far as the turnovers, but Texas ran, they threw the ball 34 times, ran the ball 40. So they had plenty of plays, and they still, 3 yards per carry on 40 carries. Sam Ellinger was 18 to 34. That They had enough plays to play better offensively. They just didn't. They didn't. They're not a good. Oklahoma State shut them down, and the numbers, sure, in an NFL game, that means more because there are less plays. But Texas had the ball plenty and did little to nothing with
it. And that's why Oklahoma State has to feel like they want to vomit because they lost their chance. You just lost to Texas, and you had all those things going for you. You're a better team. You have more talent, and you lost. And you lost in overtime. And
well,
that's
you
one
lost
where,
because you gave him the ball on the 20-13 and the 8.
I know, and you lost.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how you did it. You're out of a playoff hunt. That's what I'm talking about. And that has to make you vomit because you're at home. Yeah. You're the better team, and you lost. And you're the better. You were the better team in. You're the better team in every phase, but special teams and your quarterback turned it over. So, no, locally, I think there's a lot more people happy with Saturday, with the win, who are Texas fans and Oklahoma State fans, and definitely Aggie fans. But the one I wanted to make sure and shout out. We'll get to Houston in a second. That's not good. That's not good right now.
No.
But congratulations to Mike Bloomgren and Rice. I know they had to be, after that famous loss last week with the four doink kick that was, you know, you'd never seen anything like that, and they lost the game. They went out there and whipped Southern Miss's ass start to finish. And I just wanted to say, you know, I don't know how many times you'll say that, but Rice has improved. Has improved this year, so congratulations. I think Mike Bloomgren is a very good coach. Obviously, he doesn't have a lot to work with, but if he's starting to turn things around a little bit at Rice, then congratulations to Rice, because we're not going to mention them very often. So I do want to mention that win for them, because we're starting to see little signs that Rice might be a little bit better football team this year.
No, they are better. And they were getting better at the end of last year. No, and Bloomgren is doing a heck of a job. The offense looks much better. This Collins kid can throw it, fling it around a little bit, and looks like they're getting some better, a little bit better players. He's doing a really nice job. So, congratulations to those guys. That program's been in the doldrums for so long, and for them to go now, Southern Miss is a mess. They don't have, what is this, their third head coach already?
They're in the third string head coach.
Yeah, it's their third string head coach. So Southern Miss is a mess. It was a great time to find them. But you know what? That was only their second game, and guys, they stepped up and they won a game they were supposed to win, and they got it done. Rice went in as Rice was a favorite going there, weren't they?
They were a three-point favorite. Yeah, they were a favorite.
Yeah,
they were only like a 1-point favorite, but they were a favorite.
Ended up one. I thought it was three. Well, they got UTSA, Louisiana Tech, North Texas, and UTEP coming up. UTSA is a pretty good football team, so we'll see. They missed three games earlier that were postponed, so it's going to be a shortened season. But at six games, and that Middle Tennessee loss, which was a 40-34 double overtime game, you got to give Rice some credit. He's got them playing well and doing some good things. And the Aggies, man, I tell you, they can just flat out run the football. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really, really good to see them just at any point. And then Kellen Mond picks his spots now. I mean, he didn't throw for anything last week. He threw for 260 this week, which was pretty good. He had three touchdown passes and no interceptions. He did exactly 21-26, which is awesome. They're doing everything that they're supposed to do. This Arkansas team played within the number because the number was just too big. 12 was just too big. We'd been saying that all week long last week, that 12 was just too many in a game like this, because those two teams actually are closer. Arkansas is closing the gap a little bit on the rest of the SEC. They're playing some good football. But it seemed like just an easy cruise win. They came back and scored 14 in the fourth quarter to cover that spread. It wasn't that close. So nice job by the Aggies. They're looking like a good football. Other than that Alabama game, this is looking like a team. This is what they're supposed to be doing. So you don't beat Alabama. You know, we get that. You don't beat Alabama. But you got to take care of the rest. And with Jimbo now, and with a veteran quarterback and a running game at Spiller, who's a beast, and Smith and all the other guys. Now they introduced another guy in there too. Devin Ashane, and they're looking like a nice football team right now.
Yeah, they really are. Congratulations to them. We're starting to have some interesting things pop up here in college football. There's some interesting things rounding into shape, one of the more interesting ones that I don't want to spend too much time on the first segment, but Cincinnati annihilated Memphis, and they are going to move ahead of Oklahoma State. They're going to be a top six team in the nation right now. They're going to move all the way into a top six, and that's a legitimate team now. It's a legitimate team. Notre Dame next week will play Clemson, but they will play a Clemson team without – they've already made the decision not to play Trevor Lawrence this upcoming week against Notre Dame. But Notre Dame's highly – or Clemson's highly touted quarterback, backup quarterback who came in, he was not good in the first half but really picked it up in the second half. If they can beat Notre Dame – then Cincinnati will keep on moving up, and all of a sudden you're going to see that AAC team in the top five. So that's just an interesting development. Ohio State looked very, very good this weekend against Penn State. So we have a lot to talk about. We've got NFL stuff. Dallas just keeps, you know, Dallas just – that game against Philadelphia, Ben DiNucci was as – bad as expected, but I'm going to tell you something. Carson Wentz right now, if you're the Philadelphia, you know what you said, Dell, about if you're Texas in the macro view, you can't feel good about it. If I'm the Eagles, after watching Carson Wentz yesterday, I'm already thinking we're probably going to have to move in a different direction within a couple of years and figure out this contract, because that's really gotten really, really bad. He is just – that's a terrible Cowboy defense right now. And he just couldn't do it. He could barely do anything against them. I mean, he is really in problem. Cam Newton, another big turnover that cost his team a potential win at the end of the game. And then Pittsburgh with a big win at Baltimore. So there's a lot. The Texans didn't play, and it felt like a more fun Sunday, if I'm being honest with you. I'm like, huh, I'm unencumbered. I can watch. I don't have to watch the Texans.
No, I know. It was kind of enjoyable just watching – just watching all and that Pittsburgh one and Baltimore game. That's just two. They're just punching back and forth, and I mean Lamar Jackson just doesn't. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about on the other side. We'll talk to the NFL and what happened yesterday on the other side. And if you've got any thoughts, you're more than welcome to get in at 713-780-3776. I got to talk right now about my peeps over at Chastang Ford, where you can customize your payments, you can value your trade, you can get pre-approved, you can schedule a test drive, and you can get VIP delivery at home all on the website. All you have to do is go to ChastangFord.com, and my peeps over there are going to – you don't have to walk. You never have to see the dealership. And this is something that you won't see at other dealerships. They won't let you do that because they want to get you in there, and they want to sell you air for the tires, and they want to sell you the leather, and they want to sell you a bed liner, and they want to sell you a top for your pickup. They want to do all of the tinted windows. They got to do all of those things so that they can upsell you. And by the time it's all said and done, it's $4,000, $5,000 more than what you initially agreed on. And Chastang Ford said, nope, you can do everything online. You don't have to come in one time. And during these COVID times, that's a comfort for you. But here's the deal. If you want to go to the dealership, I've been there. They are so careful. Everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody is sanitizing. It's unbelievable how clean and how nice it is. You can check out your cars as well there. And you got unbelievable deals going on right now on your expeditions, on your sports, on your pickups. It's unbelievable what's going on right now at Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com, or it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Just 5 minutes from downtown, two exits from 59, Chastang Ford.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
My heart thumped, not from being nervous sometimes. I'm thinking God made me special here on purpose. So all the while till I'm gone, make my words important. So if I slip away, if I die.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. While all the football was going on, the Astros extended a qualifying offer to George Springer. It's $18.9 million this year is the qualifying offer, up from $17.8 million. That just means that now you can negotiate with him, and if you don't negotiate a deal with him, you receive draft compensation. So the Astros are like, well, we'll pay George at least 18.9. That's no problem. Okay, we'll give him 18.9.
Yeah, or, this isn't a real offer. Just
no, it's not a real offer, but it's a qualifying offer that means that it's the average of the top 125 players in Major League Baseball, and so it's 18.9 million. And if you don't come to a deal with him, and this is why Charlie Morton isn't here, and you didn't get any compensation because you didn't extend the qualifying offer to him. If you did. If he had a couple of years ago, it would have been a little bit more than the $15 million that he got, but you would have gotten draft compensation for him, even if he went to Tampa Bay. So I can't remember. Yeah, I think they extended to Keuchel, right? They did extend to Keuchel, mm-hmm. but they couldn't come to terms on deal because right. he wanted stupid money, and. Unfortunately, they didn't come to terms. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, they didn't come to terms. And the Astros got a draft pick for it. So they'll get a draft pick for George Springer if he doesn't sign. I saw yesterday where the Mets are just going to spend crazy money. The Mets are going to. I'm telling you, I think that if Springer doesn't go there, there will be names going there. There's no question about it. They're going to sign their own guys. They already are. They're giving qualifying offers to their own guys, and they're going to spend stupid money. So that's a real, real possibility for George Springer. Although their outfield is pretty good, and I don't think that they're basically it's a basic need. But when you can add a George Springer to your lineup, and we'll see what he gets. It'll certainly be more than the 21. I think it's going to be 25, 26 million in that neighborhood, maybe more. So George is going to cash in this spring despite COVID. I think he's going to.
Oh,
winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. George is going to cash in.
He's going to. Did you see the story about Giancarlo Stanton? He decided not to opt out. So now the Yankees are going to get $30 million from. They're going to get $30 million from Tampa. Wait, where did he come from? Is it the Marlins?
Yeah.
Yeah, as the Marlins. They get $30 million as an offset because he didn't opt out. If he opted out, then they wouldn't have got the offset. He didn't opt out, so now the Marlins have to send $30 million to the Yankees as part of his payment. But Stanton, I think, realizes, I better just sit tight on this because I'm not going to get – because he still has like $231 million left to him.
And so it's $218 million. And the Marlins are going to have to pay 30 of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And so he made the smart decision.
Yeah.
Because after what he's done in New York, nobody's going to give him this deal.
No.
I'm sure the Yankees were praying that he might do something froggy, but he didn't do anything froggy. He said, "I think I'll sit on this money."
Yeah. So they got to send $5 million. On July 1st and October 1st in 2026, 27, and 28.
God, that's going to suck.
I know.
Can you imagine having to scratch those child support payments off?
Yeah. A buddy, a guy I know is a minority owner in the Marlins. And I'm like, why? Why would you do that? What the hell? He gave up a lot of money to be just to have, say, I'm an owner of a team. I'm part of an ownership.
Gross.
Like, damn, of all the teams in the world, that one? But there aren't a lot of teams that actually open up where you can even get in minority ownership. So it's like, yeah, All right. Go have fun with that. Go have fun with that, with the Marlins, and see how well that works out for you. 713-780-3776. We said we would talk some pro football. Yesterday, it was an interesting day. First, like you said, the Dolphins, that win was kind of like a little like Texas's in that it was returns and returns. And I looked, they were up 21-7, and Tua throwed for 34 yards. I was like, what the hell?
His very first play was a fumble. The very first play of the game. I was really interested to see how he would look. And so, you know, I was on a channel that had 8 games, so I was watching pretty much all of them. But I was really interested in Tua. You know, I mean, he made a couple throws. Dell, I'm sure you watched it closely. He made a couple throws that he should have made. I thought he was a little panicky in the pocket sometimes. It's his first game. But that was one of the issues in college, is you want to see him sit in that pocket. Don't get panicked and just find your read and get rid of the ball. You know, the offense wasn't as smooth as when Fitzpatrick had been in there. But to me, this is the move to make. He's your quarterback of the future. It's not Fitzpatrick. So I've got no problem with him making the move. The players have been happy about this. He made a nice throw on his touchdown. He put the ball up there, gave his guys a chance to make plays. But this game wasn't about Tua. This game was about the Dolphins' defense really smothering. It was hot as piss at Miami. It was 140 is what the temperature gauge said on the sideline in the sun for Dolphins players. Dolphins, Rams. Is that true? That can't be true, Dell, is it?
Well, the stadium is set up. Like, when they did the renovation, they put the canopy over where it's still sun on the field, but the Dolphins and the fans are covered, except because of how the stadium is built, it is set up where the opposing sideline is always hotter than the Dolphins sideline, and that canopy doesn't really cover the opposing team while it covers the Dolphins. The Dolphins, yesterday, were sitting on the sideline probably 40 degrees cooler than the Rams were. And that's why you see sometimes AFC East teams that know the deal, they'll have like you see like old school, those movies where someone's being fanned or they have like palm trees, mm-hmm. like palm leaves over them. That is what teams do now. They have like these makeshift canopies that they hold over their players because it's so hot. So, yeah, it was probably about a 45 degree difference between one sideline and the other.
That's unbelievable. But that's well constructed. That's just good, clean fun. That is
smart.
That is awesome. How about, I mean, you want to talk about the Chargers.
Oh my God.
They've got 4 straight games where they have blown 16-plus point wins.
No way.
4 straight games where they have blown 16-plus leads. It's unbelievable how hot they start. And how cold they end, and how their defense can't stop anybody at the end. Can't stop anything. It was unbelievable, that comeback by Denver. Unbelievable. And they've done it again. This Chargers team is actually a good-looking team.
Yeah, it's the real story of the whole thing has been Justin Herbert is a good quarterback. And you know what's funny? I'm kind of pissed at myself. When I got done watching Justin Herbert, I had a pretty high grade on him. But then the more I thought about it, and I started listening to people, and your ears start to make you concerned, and, well, he doesn't do this and this. And I was grading the flashes as opposed to the entire thing, and I said, okay, well, let me just grade the entire thing. Let me go back, and I'll take all the negatives into account more. Because when you put a draft grade on a player, you can grade what he is, or you can grade who you think he's going to be. And part of who you think he's going to be are the flashes. But with quarterbacks, it can be tough. And I said, okay, I'm going to get away from the flashes, and I'm going to settle into more of who he's going to be. I should have stuck with it because he, you know, all the little mealy mouth concerns, the concerns about his mealy mouth, Oregon, you know, Eugene upbringing. He hasn't been around anybody other than people in Eugene, and he's not going to be able to lead a team and all this and that. That dude doesn't look like he has a care in the world. He's a good young rookie quarterback. He is knocking it out right now. And do you know that at the beginning of the half, it was 21 first downs. At one point in the third quarter, the Chargers had 21 first downs, and the and the Broncos had two. It was 21-2 in favor of the Chargers, and it was a 98.7% chance of winning midway through the when it was 24-3 midway through the third. Actually, with 6.5 minutes to go in the third, Broncos and Chargers. And Drew Lock out of nowhere went from being terrible to good, and the Chargers couldn't tackle. And, yeah, that was an interesting battle of two young quarterbacks. And it's also kind of – I think it also kind of gets to the point that we're going to be okay at the quarterback position in the NFL for sure. Even when Tom Brady and Drew Brees passed Tom Brady, Tom will probably pass him today for most touchdowns in the NFL, but all time. But when you look at the amount of young quarterbacks who are coming up right now, the NFL is not in – they're not in bad shape. Justin Fields looks great this year. He and Trevor Lawrence are coming out. There's a couple – Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, who some people like. They'll be coming out. I mean, I think the NFL right now from a quarterback standpoint, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, they are in the best position they've been at that position over the next 2 to 3 years. It will probably be what's considered the golden era of football from a – from a quantity standpoint. I mean, I'm not saying there's the next Drew Brees or Tom Brady. Maybe Mahomes will be, maybe he won't. But from a quantity standpoint, there's not going to be as many teams who really need quarterback.
No, but they're going to get good ones this coming off. It'll be very, very interesting to see. I just saw a list last week. I was telling you about it, Lance. They had five quarterbacks going in the first round. Quarterbacks and the guy from Yahoo, and you know I don't know that there's five places right now. Well, there are five places that need them. If you're talking about Drew Brees, if you're talking about Indianapolis,
Steelers.
They need a quarterback. The Saints need a quarterback going forward.
Steelers.
I mean, so there are places that need quarterbacks, and there are five what could be good ones, and you never know who is going to be the best one. You know, Lamar Jackson ended up the 31st pick, and he turned out to be pretty damn good yesterday, notwithstanding. 727 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We got some Texans news we got to talk about on the other side. But first, let's talk a little insurance.
Let's talk about TGS. It's as easy as one text message. You text the word money to the number 232323, and you will have a quote within 15 seconds, a firm homeowner's quote, and you'll find out what your homeowner's insurance is going to be. And here's the thing. With TGS Insurance, you need to find ways to save money to take care of – well, it's your hard-earned money. Keep more of it, but get A-rated insurance. You don't want to – you're used to making cuts, and you cut services. Homeowner's insurance doesn't have to be one of those, service cuts. You can keep A-rated insurance – but you could do it for a fraction of the cost. And that's what many people are finding out with TGS Insurance. If you've been going with the same insurance company for years and years, they've incrementally raised rates on you, and you right now are paying way too much. That's why occasionally you'll see people who hit the $2,000, and I've even seen $3,000 annual savings. A lot of times it's going to be in the $1,000, $1,400, $1,600 range. The average savings is $900 annually. So why in the world would you not check and see if you can save money on your homeowner's insurance? Text the word money to 232323 right now, or for more information, look up the website tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:30 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. All right, Lance, I'm going to play What Would You Give Me, okay, right now. There's a story here. Texans are the center of the market as teams are interested. And multiple trades are expected. The Texans could they could make five trades if they wanted to, said one executive who had been in contact with the Texans.
Really?
I'm not sure how far they'll go with it. J.J. Watt remains unlikely. Defensive end linebacker, Whitney Mercilus, remains the subject of trade talks as well, with numerous contending teams seeking to boost their pass rush by the deadline. Then why are they looking at Whitney? So what would you give me? What do you give me for Whitney?
Sixth of his contract. I guess you could get out of it just next year. So to me, he's a rental player. Either that or you have to pay his contract next year if you want to keep him. So that hurts his value because you're paying too much. So I wouldn't give you anything more than a six for Whitney. I watch tape if I'm an NFL executive, so I'm not fooled. Yeah. What would you give, John, for Whitney if you're a team?
I'd give a second.
Like realistically, if you had to add, first of all, if you're an executive, you wouldn't look to add Whitney Mercilus first and foremost. So that's why when people ask this question, ask it realistically, like you were the one who's going to add Whitney Mercilus. If you do it that way, you realize because they're watching tape too, you probably don't get anything more than maybe a fifth, maybe. But for what? Like, what are you seeing? He's ineffective against the run, and he's really not much of a factor against the pass anymore.
No.
And then you're renting him, so you don't want to give up anything for a rental. And then if you want to keep him and he's not a rental, then you've got to pay way more than he's worth as a not very good pass rusher. Like,
all right, let me ask you this. I'm going to put Whitney on the other side of a really good pass rusher. Although he is on the other side of a good pass rusher in J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt or a clown.
Yeah, but J.J.'s more of an inside guy than he is an outside guy. Let's say you've got somebody on the outside. Okay, just hypothetically. And I get one-on-one coverage with Whitney, which I'm sure he's already getting that.
He's not getting doubled.
I'm trying to make a case.
There's not a fact. Like, Whitney can't beat guys one-on-one anymore. So unless they're tight ends.
By any more, no, that's not true. He flashes in games, and he'll pick up two or a sack and a half in a game, and then he'll disappear for a month.
Check out how often it's against tight ends.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm trying to make a case for it, and it's very, very difficult.
That's surprising to me that Whitney's being talked about. Who else? Whitney's he's a fifth or beyond, I think.
Will Fuller.
Will Fuller is kind of a wild card to me. I could see a team saying, we're only going to give you a fourth because he's up after next year and we don't want to re-sign him. But I think you could get as much as a third for Will Fuller.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, because he's not hurt this year, and he adds a lot of value from a deep ball standpoint.
Brandon Cooks is looking a little bit better. He's already gotten two firsts and a second for him. Do you think you can grab a third for him?
Maybe. He's under contract. Maybe. You might be able to. I mean, he keeps fooling everybody somehow. I don't know. I mean.
Yeah. Randall Cobb is actually, for whatever reason, being talked about.
You can get away from Randall Cobb's contract pretty quick, too. So I would say, but I can't imagine Randall Cobb has as much value.
Yeah.
Once again, he's. I would think he'd be more like a 4-5 in that neighborhood.
And Kenny Stills, you gave up a second for him. Hopefully you can get that second back.
Yeah, Kenny Stills a late rounder.
What are you giving up for Duke Johnson?
Once again, I mean, these are six. Probably rentals. Yeah, I would think 5-6. Running back's interesting because Duke is a third down option, which has value. I would think you can get a fifth for him. Yeah, I don't know why the Texans aren't using him enough. But you know what was really disappointing? Watching the game last night, did you watch any of the Cowboys-Eagles?
I did not. That didn't interest me in the least.
Yeah, I just did because I had some things I was curious about. But watching Boston Scott, you know, Boston Scott is 100% a runner in the league. Like, he's a legitimate running back in the league. Boston Scott was a late round pick. Boston Scott would step on the Texans roster and be the best running back.
Yeah.
Without question. He would be the Texans' best running back. He'd be better than Duke, and he's 100% better than David Johnson. It's just, that's kind of the point, is there's just, you can find running backs in the draft all the time. It's not the hardest thing in the world. And I think now special guys like Dalvin Cook. I watched that Packer game.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy crap, Dalvin looked phenomenal.
Holy cow.
He looked phenomenal, and Ezekiel Elliott looks like he's...
Here's the deal on that, though, too. The Packers suck.
Boy, they were getting blown.
There were holes there, and they're missing tackles, and they're just not good at that whole tackling thing. I mean, that Packers defense is a mess right now.
They are, and Gary Kubiak's zone scheme looked really good yesterday. Like, that backside cut was really looking good. But I think Duke Johnson, I don't want to pull us too far off of this. I think Duke has some value, just not that. More than likely, if the Texans make trades, it's going to be for guys rounds four and up. At some point, you have to ask yourself, do we do damage to ourselves? Like, can we replace Randall Cobb with a fifth rounder? Probably not. Can you replace in time, they can develop into that player. But in the short term, next year is going to be a lot of problems. Now, if you just decide we're going to add a lot of free agents, well, I think you're going to have some money available next year. If you start making all these moves, you're going to have money available. I just don't know that building a team off of free agency is very smart. It's rarely smart. But you don't have really any choices.
Yeah, but
who's that up-and-coming wide receiver you like from the team?
I mean, honestly, like, you could pick up a Scotty Miller as opposed to a Randall Cobb and not give him anything. I mean,
yeah, you got to
hit,
though.
Saying? I mean, you can, and Scotty Miller is a guy who's going to contribute. He's probably contributing about as much as Randall Cobb is right now. Darren Fells is another guy. That's probably a sixth or seventh. I mean, he's older.
Yeah, he'll catch some balls. He'll block a little bit, although his blocking has been a little bit of an issue this year. Yeah, I mean, these are day three picks for the most part.
But Lance, they're putting him on a lot of times the other team's weak side linebacker. That's their best pass rusher. I mean, some of the scheming. I mean, really, you expected Darren Fells to be blocking that dude? I mean, I, a lot of times I'm like, what the hell?
He got beat by Tyrann Mathieu too, though. Like, physically, that was disappointing. I want to see you hang in a little longer. Harrison Bryant does. Like, hang in a little longer, Darren, than what you are. I don't think he's played all that well from a blocking standpoint. So, I don't know. You're probably right. It's probably like a sixth.
Yeah.
It's not a lot. If the Texans are going to be in the middle of – they're in the middle of the draft. They're just going to be in the middle of a bunch of not early picks. So, if you hoard those picks, maybe you can tie a couple up and move up around one time and find a player you like, but let's face it, you're going to have to fill out a roster next year. That's how.
Yeah, Will Fuller probably brings you your most.
Yeah, Will Fuller's your most valuable trade commodity if J.J. Watt's off the market, which to me, I just can't believe J.J.'s not even being considered. I mean, I know. This ownership's love affair with names like Brian Cushing, you know, it's just baffling to me. I have a fire sale going on right now if I think somebody can bring me picks.
Well, it's white guys. Can't get rid of white guys. That's the problem. Mm-hmm.
I get it. JJ's a good player.
How long did they have Matt Stevens?
He's kind of like Akeem Olajuwon, right, where you didn't want to get rid of Dream at one point, but he had value, and then you waited 1 year later, and all his value was gone.
Yeah. Yep. No, you could actually draw a late second with JJ.
Maybe.
And if you could.
He's got another year on his contract. You know, that's, I mean.
And you're doing the guy a favor. I mean, they think like, oh, we can't. That's our franchise guy. We couldn't possibly do it. You're doing him
a favor. He's the face of the franchise.
I
got news for you. The face of the franchise, JJ, he's the face of the franchise for the last 3 years. It's irrelevant. No, the city's not excited about your team. It doesn't matter if JJ's here or not. No one is going to. Check out of there. There'll be some Texans Karens who will check out a little bit of JJ Watt's not here. But for the most part, it's JJ Watt's not keeping the fan base interested in your team. It's irrelevant now.
I mean,
move them and get value.
Of all the teams, do you want to be the face of this franchise? This mess. This is the definition of a franchise that's a mess. No head coach, no general manager, making the worst trades in NFL history over the last few months. There's a 1-6 team. Who the hell wants to be the face of this?
You know who the face of this franchise is right now? Deshaun Watson. And all I can think of is him scrambling for his life, trying to do anything he can. Like, it feels apropos, though. Deshaun running around inside of a pocket, trying to get away, trying to escape and do, you know, trying to flip it to somebody for a gain. That feels like what this organization is right now. They're trying to escape the mess that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby have made. And now they don't even have. I had a neighbor who said, "Hey, so what's the deal with the Texans GM? When are they going to do something?" I said, "They can't. They have to wait till the end of the day. Like, they can be doing research in the background. It's not, but in terms of out front, in terms of Texans fans actually caring about what's going on, there's nothing that's going to happen until after the year. Like, you're not even halfway through yet."
I keep getting asked the question, "Who's going to be?" I have no idea.
Who knows?
What GM wants to come here? What coach would want to come here with the situation that this is?
Got to get rid of Easter before. There's no GM who's going to take his first chance. Like, Thomas Dimitroff wouldn't want to be in this situation. He already had guys, and, you know, too many guys over there that were added in Atlanta. And then, you know, first time guys, do you really want your best chance to be with Jack Easterby having the owner's ear? That just doesn't make any sense.
Sean Connery died?
Yeah, over the weekend, Sean Connery died.
Oh, man. Sean Connery was totally cool.
He was pretty macho. He was one of the last of the real macho.
I know. And even later in life, I mean, he was still playing a badass. I mean, talk about Sean Connery. I didn't think death could get him.
What makes you think he was so macho? You mean when he said sometimes a woman needs a slap?
Is that what he said?
Something along those lines. Yeah.
Sometimes a woman what?
Sometimes a woman needs a little slap.
What about when he
John,
said?
Don't say fresh ones.
And you can bleep the cheerleaders. What about that one?
I don't think there's anything particularly wrong about hitting a woman, although I don't recommend doing it in the same way that you hit a man.
Wow, Sean Connery said that?
An open handed slap is justified for all if all other alternatives fail. Now, he said this in like 1965 when no one batted an eye at it. And then I don't think it's then he's later, 1987, I don't think it's good to slap a woman. I don't think it's that bad. I think it depends entirely on the circumstances and if it merits it.
Oh, so his stance had softened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 97, 32 years later.
87. I'll give him 80,
oh, 87. Okay.
Yeah.
22 years later, he goes, it's a different time.
I mean.
Yeah. And then I'm sure he stopped with the backhands.
1993, he stood by his comments.
Oh, he did?
Hey, just check it in. It's only been 6 years later. Everything stays the same.
And then, okay. And then this is in 2006. My view is I don't believe that any level of abuse against a woman is ever justified under any circumstances, full stop. Someone finally got to Sean.
Thank you.
Hey, Sean. Come on now.
He adjusted with the times. Okay. That just shows how, right, you know what?
65 to what, 2006?
Yeah.
It only took 40 years.
That's all. All right. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. I want to talk right now about mybookie.ag, promo code radio. It is the place to go if you're looking for a great place to bet and win and get paid. If you haven't seen the site, it is awesome. Go there and you can see for yourself. You can navigate it. You can check it out how easy it is. And you can check it out. Listen, you want to make some plays? Okay. If you don't want to make plays, if you have some problem with gambling, that's fine too. Don't go there. But if you do, if you feel like, hey, I'd like to cash in on some of my knowledge with football, baseball, basketball, soccer, hockey, anything. It's unbelievable what you can bet on. If you know Australian rules football, guess what? You'll be able to go there and bet on games. It's what you can do. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. They will double your initial deposit, which nobody else does, so you got that. And then secondly, when you win, you can get paid, which is difficult on some of these websites, not so much on mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. The number, if you would love to get in here and talk about anything, you're more than welcome to do
that. I've got a question for Cowboys fans.
Ooh, nice. Okay. What?
I'm seriously wondering what their thoughts are on Ezekiel Elliott right now. Because as I'm watching Ezekiel Elliott, I thought Dallas was stupid for not getting him more involved in the passing game yesterday. Because, golly, was this quarterback terrible. Whoa, he was bad. I mean, it's your third string quarterback, but that, like, I don't see any hope for him. To me, you know that you might as well go ahead and find something else, because that's just not going to get it done at any point ever in his career. But the Ezekiel Elliott question comes because I thought Tony Pollard actually looked like he was a little more explosive when he got carries yesterday. And I'm wondering if – I mean, Ezekiel Elliott still has carries left in him. I'm not saying he doesn't. But for the amount of money he's making – I don't feel like he was able – I don't know when the last time I felt like Ezekiel Elliott was taking over the game. Now, Tyler Bedage that they drafted from Wisconsin, I just think he's just a guy at center. I don't think – to me, Connor Williams is okay at left guard. The Cam Fleming right now at left tackle is just, you know, not that good. They don't have Lyle Collins at right tackle. I mean, they've got some – Dallas obviously has some issues on the offensive line, so that's not really on Zeke. I just think from the amount of explosiveness, Pollard looked more explosive to me than Zeke. And I'm wondering if Cowboy fans are going to start to, you know, Zeke had a couple big fumbles a couple weeks ago. I'm just wondering if he is, if it's amazing the way fans start looking at players once they've got huge paychecks, because not from they're jealous of his bag. No, the standpoint of more is expected of you. The more you get paid, you're expected to be this superstar. And the fact is, most running backs are always going to be – they're going to outperform contracts their first rookie year. In the second contract, their production tends to go down. It almost always happens, it seems like. And I don't know. I just wonder if Cowboy fans are starting to see Zeke a different way. I'm starting to wonder if the Dallas Cowboys – you know, this suck looks like it's here to stay for a while. Andy Dalton, this concussion thing wouldn't shock me if he's not able to play for a while. They weren't any good with Andy Dalton under center, at least in the very short term. He's better than this guy they have now. Dak ain't coming back anytime soon. You're on the hook for your running back, for your wide receiver. Like, if Dallas keeps being terrible, John, I wonder if, I mean, are you looking at Josh Fields or one of these quarterbacks? If you are, are you just letting Dak walk?
Justin Fields? What are you doing?
I mean, Justin Fields. Are you just letting Dak walk? What? I wonder what the thought in Dallas would be if they got a shot at a young quarterback for cheap. I'd be looking young quarterback.
If they're number two, if they're picking second,
to me, Dak's gone. I wouldn't even think twice. I'd be like, oh, bye.
I'm getting a Justin Fields. I'll start over with that, because even with Dak, they had one win. And that was a miracle win against the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he did perform a little bit, but I'm just
no. Dak was great, but you know what? But this is a Deshaun thing. Well, I'm going to pay you all of that money to win a couple of games. No.
You got to hit reset with a younger quarterback. Now, I don't know if Dallas is going to be the second worst team in the league, but the way they're playing right now, they got a shot. Although there's some real stinkers out there.
Yeah, I mean,
you ain't catching the Jets. I'm just telling you, Jets were a little more feisty yesterday, and they still didn't even cover the number.
Well, they were feisty against the Bills, and that's about it. That's the only game they've covered. They covered because they were 12 point dogs, and they lost by 8.
Yeah, Torrey, Saints fan, said so far, Alvin Kamara sure looks like he's worth second contract. He sure does.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara has played really well. Dalvin Cook has played really, really well.
Right.
He's got 11 touchdowns, and he's missed some time.
Yeah, no, Dalvin and Kamara is just – he's just fantastic. He is just and they got to lean on him because you don't have Michael Thomas again. Holy crap, dude. What is with this dude? he has turned into a head case now.
Who did you say?
Michael Thomas.
Oh, I know. Well,
holy
I mean,
crap! Are you kidding me? You were the
wide receiver.
Once you become the best receiver in the NFL, you lose your mind.
Now, Mike Thomas has always been a little bit of an issue, like a diva. He is, you know, this is a guy who was in everyone's DMs before the draft, telling them how dumb they were and all this. Like, and that's great from a competitive standpoint, but it also tells you how. Yeah, he's been a little bit of an issue. The fact that they're talking about moving him, that there's trade talk around Mike Thomas, it starts to feel like a TO situation. Like, wow, if he's in the height of his prime and you're already talking about moving him, that feels kind of TO-y.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. No, you have to wonder whether or not – I mean, and we know that he punched his teammate, but then he's out again this week. Did anybody – I never heard. Why?
Yeah, last I heard it was like a quad. I'm starting to wonder if this is Mike pissed off and he's just sitting out now.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. 7378033776 is the number, and we have.
Hey, whoa! Here's a question for you. Well, no, you know what? I'm not doing this. I was going to say, would you look at making a move for Mike Thomas? But you know what? If you're the Texans, you really, I'm not even going to talk about that. Like Mark Foster tweeted us and like, what about trying to get Sean? You know, John Harbaugh or Sean Payton in here. It may cost you draft picks, but what about trading for those guys as Texans head coach and give them some GM stuff? First of all, you got yourself in this position because you let your head coach make GM moves. Harbaugh has had Ozzie Newsome and Eric DePodesta there, so I'm not giving any head coach GM duties. That's over. The second thing is you cannot give away draft picks anymore if you're the Texans. You don't have them. You can't give any more away. You just can't do it.
And Childish Altuve sent us, Art sent us this, and yeah, we haven't even touched on this. Javon Wims, holy crap.
Yeah, that
I know Gardner Johnson put his finger in, I believe it was Anthony Miller's face, right?
What made Wims so mad?
Yeah, in the series before, he went up to him and he stuck his finger in his face mask and into his mouth. And pushed his face through his face mask the series before. So, man, Wims comes back the next series. And if you haven't seen it yet, just look up Javon Wims and Gardner
Johnson. I've never seen anything like that, I don't think, where Wims goes up to him, like taps him on the shoulder as he turns. He slaps him with his left hand. Then he gets a good shot with his right hand and basically just starts fighting him. That got a little ugly.
No, a little ugly.
Some people thought it was just the start of Florida Georgia Hate Week because Wims went to Georgia and Gardner Johnson went to Georgia, and they played against each other, so they know each other quite well. Yeah, he put his finger, and by the way, Gardner Johnson's a bit of a heckler. He always has been, back from his time with the Gators. Yeah, he tried to snatch his chain, I think.
Yeah, it was his chain or his mouthpiece
I thought
or something?
Some people thought it was a chain because of the way he snatched at it. I don't know if Gardner Johnson was wearing a chain, and then he just tried to two-piece him because stick your finger in my receiver's mouth, I guess.
And the first hit is zero response. I mean, zero. He just stood there and he looked at him, and then Wims came with another shot to the face. That one looked like it got him, and then he grabbed his face mask and got pulled to the ground. And when they came over to it, I was like, Malcolm Jenkins, what are you doing? Why are you fighting after the play? Because it was Malcolm Jenkins that jumped on his back to try to stop him, but it was all Wims, and it was all because you're right, Dell. They probably got history, those two.
Yeah, they I think they at least played maybe two or three games against each other back in college. So Wims probably said, "All right, you're gonna stick your finger in my dude's face. You're probably annoying as hell when we played against each other as well." So okay, let's see. I'm not getting the ball thrown to me anyway. It's Nick Foles out there. Let me slap you up a couple times, see what happens.
Let's get Garrison in here in a hurry. I believe I know this Garrison. He's from Louisiana. He wants to talk about that Saints-Bears game. What up, Garrison?
Oh, nothing, Uncle John. I was just looking at the Saints' record and the games they've been playing. They've only won one by more than a touchdown and been narrowly escaping the other team. Do you think with them barely winning – when they play the rest of the season out, they have a chance of making it to the big game?
Well, it sure would be nice if they could get Sanders back and they could get Thomas back. I mean, it's like I don't know that Drew Brees can throw down the field like he used to. He certainly can't throw down the field like he used to, but it sure would help if he had some weapons, wouldn't it?
I think you can get to a Super Bowl without Mike Thomas.
No, not without Mike Thomas being Mike Thomas again, you know, right. For what he did last year. Because right. I feel bad for him. I mean, what's he got out there right now? Kamara's, you know, we're talking about Kamara being great, but I would get it to Kamara every single time. He's the best guy on the field, and he's the only guy. He's the only weapon they have.
Yeah, so, this isn't the stage of Drew's career where you want to not give him a whole lot of weapons and ask him to elevate guys. That's not where he is in his career. You got to give him some weapons. And Kamara has been a godsend for them this year because his ability on the ground through the air has been a big help for Drew. And that's exactly what he needs. It's kind of like when they had, Sproles. I mean, you know, Drew, I think, needs one of those guys who can operate through the air and on the ground, and that's what Kamara happens to be. But they'll get Sanders back eventually. You know, that could be a team, you know, that could be one of those teams that looks for, well, I don't think Will Fuller makes any sense for the Saints. But I could see them being a team that looks for maybe a Mike Conley or something like that, goes and looks for some wide receiver help before the trade deadline. I could see that because they need something, and I'm starting to wonder if you just can't trust Mike Thomas anymore. Maybe we see a blockbuster deal with Thomas and, you know, another receiver changing places.
Yep. All right, 8 o'clock, ESPN, 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us. There's a little jab left, little jab right, Lance.
Sight jab. My friend Hector over there, he's a big boxing fan. That's why he's been making websites since they first started, since websites were first being made by he got his first job when he was 17 years old. He did a website for a company, and he said, boy, if you saw it now, you know, it would just look terrible compared to what's out there now. But that's what everybody's site did. I mean, ESPN's did. Everybody's site did. As a matter of fact, I remember CBS Sports was it's called Sportsline. Sportsline was a better site than ESPN. That was the one that we went to for sports way back in the day when it was starting up. But Hector's, his websites have now, when you look at it, it's top of the line. And they're right here in Houston. And what they are doing is finding ways to, A, optimize the reader's experience. And then for you as a small, medium-sized business, SiteJab, what they do is they find ways to make sure that those eyes turn into potential business leads. And the way to do that is having a clean user interface and making it easy to interact with the site itself so that they get the information and can sign up for the work, sign up for the business. And SiteJab does fantastic work. Whether you need a remodel on your site or if you need something brand new, they can do it from 3 to 6 weeks to have a custom produce site. And keep in mind, that time frame is based on your availability. So if you're always available to have everything done, we're talking about 3 weeks to get a brand new site. That's all it takes. And e-commerce, they can hook that into your website as well. SiteJab.com is a website, SiteJab.com. Give them a shout today and get started on upping your potential for business with SiteJab.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.